You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Behind the Mic with Audiophile Magazine. I'm Michelle Cobb, publisher of Audiophile, and this week we are talking about the selections of 2021's best audiobooks. And today, it's no mystery, we'll be talking about mysteries. And I've got a very special guest, Richard Ferrone. But first, before we bring him in, here are our choices for best audiobooks in mystery and suspense. Blood Grove by Walter Mosley, read by Michael Boatman. The Maidens by Alex Michaelides, read by Louise Brealey and Cobna Holbrook-Smith. The Murder on the Lynx by Agatha Christie, adapted by Kate McCall and performed by Alfred Molina, Simon Helberg, and a full cast. The Night Gate by Peter May, read by Peter Forbes. Velvet Was the Night by Silvia Morena Garcia, read by Gisela Chepe. And Ocean Prey by John Sanford, read by Richard Ferrone. Welcome, Richard.
It's a pleasure being here with you.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
This book is part of a series. I think it's the 31st, if I recall. Can you tell us what the series is about and what this particular audiobook is about?
Well, in a nutshell, I mean, to cover 31 episodes in this series, in a nutshell, it's about how this maverick detective by name Lucas Davenport solves a crime. But what makes it so interesting is that, first of all, the crimes are usually very violent and complicated. And then it's this maverick of a detective, Lucas Davenport, who makes it all so exciting.
This particular title also had Virgil Flowers, is that correct?
That is correct. And Virgil was worked into the series, I don't know how many years, about halfway through, maybe 15 years ago, as somebody that Lucas knew in his detective work up in Minnesota. And he called Virgil worked with him. And then Virgil himself as a character became very popular. So the author, John Sanford, spun him off to start writing novels with just Virgil as the main protagonist.
Now, you've got a lot of tough guys in these books. How do you keep them all straight and how do you differentiate them?
You know, that's a good question. I started out 31 years ago finding certain characteristics about the detectives that Lucas worked with regularly. And there were several that for about the first 15 years always popped up. When Lucas was working in Minneapolis, of course, he had a regular staff of detectives that he worked with. And that was great. I mean, I had one of them, you know, they talked about, he was described as having had a past of doing a lot of coke and that sort of thing. So there are certain vocal things that happen to somebody who uses a lot of coke. So I tried to work that in. But whether or not I had that part of him correct, it gave me a little way to give him make his character a little bit different and something that I could always remember as I went from book to book. And that was the same way. Another one was really kind of a sad sack and, you know, had a more serious sense of humor. And there's just, you know, Sanford does a great job of giving you a good character description, which I just make a portrait of that person in my mind. And vocally, quite honestly, vocally, something happens when I have a clear picture of the person. Sometimes, every once in a while, I do pick on a particular actor who has a very distinctive voice. And again, not trying to mimic that actor's voice, but again, it gives me a way of identifying that character. And that happens with particularly certain political people that appear in his novels. For some reason, the political people, you know, I can tie in better with actors. I hope I didn't get myself into trouble with some actors.
Well, you have. You've named no names, so I think you're safe.
Good.
So has anything in particular stayed with you about Ocean Prey?
Yeah, you know, this was... Well, first, let me say that as this series has gone on, I don't think that John Sanford's crimes are as bloody and gory and violent as they were in the first 5 to 10 years. I mean, there were some terrible ones. So, and now they've become a little bit more politically involved. John Sanford has brought Lucas out of Minnesota and working as a U.S. Marshal under the authority of the main U.S. Marshal in the federal government in Washington. And so he gets these assignments all over the country now, and here he ends up in Florida. So what sticks in my mind about him is Lucas has a bit more of a conscience about this maverick drive that has kept him going for the past 30 years. And it makes it very interesting because he's constantly dealing with trying to mete out the justice to the criminals as he sees it. And yet you can feel his conscience saying, no, he really should just bring this person in. Somehow it happens that there's a shootout and Lucas has to kill the guy, you know, or woman. In this one, okay, I'm really not answering your question about Ocean Prey. What stands out about Ocean Prey in particular, really one of the things that stands out about it is the fact that he brings Virgil in to work with him once more. And Virgil is a great character all in itself. And Virgil ends up doing an incredible job as a deep sea diver in this. And so the interplay between Virgil and the criminals and Lucas's assistant, who's a woman, is just wonderful interplay. There's just wonderful interaction between Virgil and the other person in the story.
Well, thanks for giving us such great character interactions and many excellent mysteries. And congratulations on being back on the Audiophile Best of the Year list. I know you've been here before.
Well, thank you, Michelle. And it's really wonderful to know that so many fans of John Sanford keep coming back for more. And there'll be more in years to come. I know, as a matter of fact, I just was reading that he's actually, for those who are listening, if you don't know it, he's already, he's starting a series based on his adopted daughter, Letty. That's something to look forward to. I'm sure there'll be probably some wonderful female narrator narrating that one. I hope it is a wonderful female narrator.
Well, I'm sure it will be. And, you know, we look forward to hearing you on more of the John Sanford and on more mysteries in general. You do a great job with those.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Michelle, and thank you for having me.
In this best of the year edition of Behind the Mic with Audiophile Magazine, we've been talking about Ocean Prey by John Sanford with Richard Ferrone. Support for our podcast comes from Oasis Family Media, publishers of Oasis Audio, Paperback Classics, and Hollywoodland Audiobooks. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, please join us all week for more chats with narrators and follow us on social media. The full list of Audiophile's best audiobooks can be found at audiophilemagazine.com. This is Michelle Cobb. Thanks for listening.